Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
I believe we're sitting on 6/2 in this date of 2/22/2022. It's energetically, we're soaring. So I wanted to share that with you as we proceed into this night there where we have open mic, where you get to share what's has been happening in your life in reference to the shows or just what's been happening in your life, period. So we are so excited to have you with us. And I'm so excited, and I think that this vibration has me going a little bit too, because, you know, this is where the ancestors like to come in and show out. So we're going to let the ancestors do what the ancestors day of today, 2/22/2022, and I know you guys have been listening and hearing about it and talking about it all day, but let's get this party started, right? So we're giving thanks to our ancestors this evening, all day, every day, anytime we need them. We're reaching out for the strength and the energy, the vibration of our ancestors who have gone before us to pave that road and lay the foundation for us, and we're just eternally thankful to them. So we call their name, we call their energy, and we stand on their shoulders for strength, and we are indeed made stronger by the very energy of our ancestors. So ancestors, we love you. We love you now. We love you yesterday. We love you forever and ever and ever. Ashe. Next, I wanted to take a few minutes to read and share with you just small portions of one of my contributions. It's called Rev Sandy, that WordPress.com is daily inspirational messages that I write and post. And this one that I'm sharing with you today, and there is a theme, of course, this one that I'm sharing with you today is called Unity in Community. Unity in Community. My brother William, Imam William Safir, inspired today's message because he was talking to me about a project that he has spearheaded in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area in Texas. And when he first told me the name of the project, Unity in Community, it just simply resonated in my spirit. Then I looked closer at the words and saw Unity, U-N-I-T-Y, actually ended the word community. How do we create this scenario? How can we ensure we reach our objective? I believe it begins with the thought, with the intent to create it. Have you ever noticed that when you get an idea all the resources are suddenly made available to you. We pray and consult with the most qualified of all, God Goddess. We give thanks for being blessed with the concept. We know we are doing mighty work that will affect trillions of people today and tomorrow. We know also the work affects generations past because they laid the groundwork and the foundation for us to build upon. We give thanks to the ancestors. We do not deviate from the sincere belief that it is possible and can be done. Are you a part of the plan? Will you aid in the building of unity in the community? And again, you can find that if you're interested at revsandy.wordpress.com. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So now we know February was carrying a whole bunch of titles, and we attempted to address each one of them in with the speakers that we have for this month. So it's Heart Health Month, Love Month, and then Black History. So the presenters that came before us touched on each one of those during their presentation. Some make their whole presentation on one aspect, but that is exactly what we want to talk about tonight. Which one of those did you enjoy, learn, appreciate the most? What were the lessons that you learned from those shows? And then I actually have some additional reading as well that I would like to share with you from a magazine, The Natural Awakening. And I'm not sure if you can get it throughout the United States, but I know we have it here in Atlanta, Georgia. And they were talking about emotions and heart health, so we're going to get to that in a minute. Let me just come back a little bit. That's how this energy is today. You know, it has you calm and peaceful, but it also kind of have me a little scattered, so I'm not going to claim it for anybody else. So, audience, you know, we really, really want you to be a part of the discussion tonight particularly, and we welcome all the comments, and we really want to hear from every person. So our call-in number to the show is 516-531-9819, and you just press 1 to alert me that you want to speak live on air with us. My only request or recommendation to maintain the high quality of the playback of the show is that once I open your line, if you are taking a pause and you're not speaking, if you would just mute your phone, then that will ensure a clear background, high quality for those that like to listen repeatedly or do not have an opportunity to come on at the actual day that the show is being aired. So that's all. If I open up your line and you speak with us and you take a break, take a breather, whatever you need to do, just put your phone on mute, and then you can always unmute yourself and, you know, if you have another question. So if you would love to, like to, have a desire to listen to any of the old shows, you can listen to the rebroadcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. And my name is SandyRodgers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I'm keeping us in this theme of unity in community. I'm going to play one of my all-time favorite songs to see if you get the connection here. We'll be right back, you guys. We'll be right back. Frankie Beverly, and Maze. We are one. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about this heart health and love and Black history. So I just to get the mood right to set us straight for this last Tuesday of the month as we recap those lessons or the speakers that came on and shared with us this month. So welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Ooh, I tell you, I got so much information to talk to you about and to get your take on what we are doing in this thing called LIFE, right? So just to kind of recap what tonight's show was originally written up as, says this has truly been a great month as we dissected many elements of heart health and wellness. And I want to know, have you done any work on what has been shared with you this month by our incredible speakers? I realize it may not always be easy to make changes that you feel has kept you safe. Right, kept you safe for many years. Remember, we discussed forgiveness and releasing stuff, or how about the first episode in this month's series, Our Thoughts Originate in Our Hearts. What have you learned? What are your thoughts? So that's kind of where the direction we want to go as we honor once again this magical day today of 6-6-6-2, 2-22-2022, and those numbers, how they're showing up, is about changing, creating a fresh start, and family. And that's why I wrote and read and played the music that I did for today, because this is the culmination of this higher vibrational energy that's taken us into this cohesiveness of family, of unity, of creating a better forward step for us versus, you know, just sitting back and complaining, you know, and talking about stuff and not doing anything. So I'm excited that we have the promise of this energy, this high vibration, where we can make things happen, and we're assisted. We're assisted by the ancestors. We're assisted by the universe. We're assisted by the master maker, creator, and we just trust the process. And I believe each one of us can dig into that closet of skills and passions and bring out something, dust it off, and we can get there. And we can get there by going into our heart chakras, our heart energy, and just being strengthened by that, knowing that we've got all of this that's backing up, you know, our desires and our goals and our programs and our new projects that we want to get going, because we have it all. And so if we just go back over this month, we had Queen Mother Mayata, who started off the month, and she spoke about the true genesis of human thought, right? And she backed that up with her study. I know a lot of us learned so much, and then we also joined her as she went into further explanation with her presentation that she did, I think, a week or so afterwards. Just, oh, man, it was so much knowledge, so much knowledge. And she's been over to Kemet a couple of times, and so, you know, when she studies real hard. And she came with a pure heart in sharing that knowledge with us. And then we had Shanita. And I tell you, I think Shanita took us all to a higher place of acceptance and forgiveness. and perhaps looking at our own lives as to where we might be able to encourage ourselves to dig a little bit deeper into that place of forgiveness and understand that we all make choices, and it's our choice, what we choose to do, what we decide to do, and that it should not stop us from loving people, even if they don't support the decisions that we made. So that was a really touching show for me because of what she was sharing with us. But she's so powerful. You know, it was it showed her strength and the determination that young lady had in not settling, even though it put her in a place of being homeless. She wanted to be the demonstration of going for something higher, for what she really wanted in her heart of hearts. And I tell you, I have so much admiration for that, because how many people do you know? I mean, you may have even done it as well. Stay in a job that is degrading, demeaning, not paying you what you're worth, and you know it, but you stay anyway for whatever reason, you know. So I just applaud her for doing that, and for having a young child as she went into that homelessness situation. It's just really courageous to me. And then last week we had Dee Olivia. And Dee Olivia talked about healing the heart, and she also then took us into something that may be buried deep within our consciousness that we don't really take a look at or consider to be a part of things that we're just carrying around, right, in our hearts, in our bodies, that may be creating some issues for us, some concerns. And we talked about, you know, how we raise our children with falsehoods or lies, telling them about Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, gosh, you guys know all the things that we tell our kids to keep them in line, supposedly. But how much of that really, really rest in our heart of hearts as authority figures lie, and they lie all the time. You can't trust authority figures. Or what about the concepts that so many of us adopted and believe to be the Christian thing to do, to beat your child, because scripture says that's what you're supposed to do. And so then when you get older, right, you need somebody, you need that other person in your life to be hitting on you all upside your head and every place else, because that's what you were raised to believe or to associate it with, love and being cared for. So there's a lot of things that, you know, right now would be a really perfect time to go in and release those issues, bring them up one by one, you know, just sit quietly over in the corner or quietly outside and bake, basking in the sun, and just bringing up all of that stuff so that we can clear our hearts out of some of the unnecessary remembrances we have that doesn't sit well with us right now, doesn't serve us. So that's a recap of the three shows that we had. There's only 4 weeks in this month, 4 Tuesdays in this month. So, again, I said today is the last Tuesday of February, and it's also that magical 2/22/2022. We'll never see this again, you guys. Never, ever will we see 6 2s in one day. And the energy is just at such an incredible, incredible high. And I hope you can feel it. You know, I hope you have taken the time to really been able to appreciate, you know, those numbers. And even if you don't necessarily believe in numerology, just the fact that you've got all these twos in today's date, it's miraculous to me. But let me go into this article, and hopefully this will stir up. I've got more notes, too. But I was, you know, like I was reading in my daily inspirational message, it's like when you go to do something, everything that you need comes to support you, right? So I'm at this vegetarian restaurant here in Atlanta called Tassili's. And they have these health-related magazines that are free of charge. You know, you pick them up. They're out on the outside of the establishment, and they have more on the inside. And I happened to pick up the February issue a couple of weeks ago. Natural Awakenings is the name of the magazine. And the title on the front said, The Mindful Heart, Why Our Thoughts Matter to Our Hearts. Again, remember Queen Mother Mayata in the first show talked about our thoughts originate in the heart and then it travels to the mind or to the brain. And you may or may not have accepted what she said or thought it was a little strange, but I'm getting ready to read this article, parts of it. I'm not going to read the whole article because it's like 3 or 4 pages long, but it's called The Heart-Mind Connection, How Thoughts and Emotions Affect Our Heart Health. Does your wife show you her love? In a study of 10,000 married men, this question turned out to be really revealing a lot. Among men with high levels of anxiety, a whooping 93% that answered no developed the angina-related chest pains within 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. And that rate was nearly twice the rate of those answering yes. So this 1976 Israeli study was one of the first to clearly document how emotions affect the physical heart. What's on your mind really does affect your heart. This was from a leading researcher and cardiologist, Michael Miller. And he's the director of the Center for Preventive Cardiology at the University of Maryland Medical System. Emerging fields that are coming out now probing the mind-heart connection. The first one is neurocardiology, N-E-U-R-O, neurocardiology, which studies the neurological interplay, and behavioral cardiology, which examines how psychological and social factors lead to heart disease. Y'all get this? Psychological and social factors that lead to heart disease. Recently, the heart's role is being re-examined. With 40,000 neurons, it sends more signals to the brain than it receives. As integrative cardiologist Mimi Guarnero, author of The Heart Speaks, the heart is a multi-layered, complex organ possessing intelligence, memory, and decision-making abilities independent from the mind. So the toll of these tough emotions is what they're calling said that they surveyed 25,000 participants in 52 countries, and it's called the INTERHEART, I-N-T-E-R, Heart Study. So back in 2004, the study concluded that about 30% of heart attacks and strokes are due to psychological factors, and ongoing research supports this finding. So they targeted or highlighted various psychological factors like depression, anxiety, shock, anger, and loneliness. So they were saying, in short, again, you can pick this up free at most health food stores and like GNC, Sprouts, and those type of places, but you might want to hurry since this February. So they were saying boosting both the brain and the heart. They gave a couple of different suggestions. The first one was called doing the basics, exercising a half hour daily, and eating a largely plant-based, I don't like the word diet, so eating a largely plant-based meal. And that half an hour exercise and what you're eating lowers the risk of both cardiovascular disease and cognitive decline. So you want to stop that. what are they called? Alzheimer's and whatever that other one is. You know, all these names always, you know, they really kind of get your heart pumping faster when you say them because you don't want to be associated with it. And then it says giving and getting hugs. Extremely interesting because, you know, we're being ordered. Now I think it's being highly suggested that we don't touch people. You know, we do the elbow thing or, but stay away from. Just think, you guys, what type of effect is this having on the heart health, the mental health of most of the population? What's really going on when it's already been researched and tested with all of 40,000 people in a research study and saying that these are some of the things that you can do to improve the health of your heart and to help decline cognitive disorders. But we're being told stay away from people. So I just want to get that one to you. I'm not telling you to go out there and do it. I'm just saying hugging helps your heart, helps your health, helps your overall mood. And when we're in a happier, relaxed mood, we will live longer in a very calm and peaceful state of mind. So just kind of tuck that away somewhere so that when the bans are lifted, you can return to giving and getting hugs. And so another thing that they suggested was mindfully letting go. Now, I didn't read the whole article on that, but I would define that principle as is deliberately, what we were talking about earlier tonight, deliberately taking a situation in your life and looking at it like, you know, if you're still angry with your parents for teaching you about this Santa Claus dude that wasn't even real and that, you know, how crushed you were when you found out the reality was that there was no such thing and all of this stuff about he could in the note, keeping a log and all of that stuff, and, you know, flying through the air with the reindeer. But we believed it. You may not have, I did. So it, you know, it kind of pulls at you, and then you're looking at people kind of sideways, like, who else lying to me, you know, and maybe this is what they teaching me in the schools. Maybe it ain't quite right either, because it sounds kind of fishy, like, right? So that's what I'm saying. Those situations would be what you could mindfully let go. Remember it and then release it. The next step or the next suggestion to boost your brain and your heart is to laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. You know, I like to tell people in one of my daily inspirational messages was, you know, you got something that's just really weighing you down, and, man, it's like it's getting ready to rip your heart out of your body. Make it into a comedy. Make it a stage play where you got all the Kevin Harts and I was trying to think of some of the other guys. But, you know, the funny guys, put them on the stage and let them play out your scenario. Make a comedy play picture, whatever you want to do, but turn that situation around so that it's not weighing you down. The next thing they suggested was breath work, and I know there's a lot going on. You probably can find some things that are online that can teach you how to do this breath work. When you slow your breath down and take deliberate, slow inhales and long exhales, it actually helps to pull toxins out of your body and release the toxins. And so Jeff Primack with Supreme Science is initially started off certifying people to be Qigong practitioners. But he found out in his work in doing that was that his practitioners were sickly, and he couldn't understand why. So he calls it going into his cave, and he did all of this scientific research on food and the nutrient values and what the different components of the food, what it could heal in your body and why, because of the double bonded this and that, you know, but he named it all. So he is actually in the midst of doing a global breath work as we're doing this show. So it's very, 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 very soothing. There's a lot of power in it in uniting the energy and the concentration, the desire, the intent on those people that are involved in a united setting. So all of this really has a lot of power to it. And then there's meditation that you can do. Actually, I just finished up a 22-day meditation with Hillside in the Sankofa celebration for this month. And along with that, I did three other prayer and meditation. So just starting off my day in such a solid state of connection and peace. And the other two activities that are suggested in this particular magazine is yoga or Tai Chi. And yoga can be done in a chair or it can be done standing up. Both of them, I believe, Tai Chi as well. So instructors are modifying positions for you to be able to still get benefit. And remember, that could be a part of that 30 minutes a day with your exercise and eating that plant-based food, right? So yoga or Tai Chi. And I really enjoy doing those exercises outside too. But so, and then the last thing, this article recommends or has to say, and I'm sure, you know, we're all smart. We can all figure this thing out for ourselves. is music. You know, I'm not sure how many of you guys was bebopping with me with Frankie Beverly. I just absolutely love Frankie Beverly. Oh, my God. Just forever and ever. They have such a rhythmic soul and spirit about, you know, what they're doing. You're either swaying or you dancing to it. And that's how we need to really get involved into the music, to let us kind of take us away, you know. And let me just go backtrack a minute. With that hugging, under the current conditions that we're in, if you do not have, if you do not think you can do the hugging in a healthy way, hug yourself. You know, that's one of the practices that most New Thought churches have or teaches the participants. You know, just wrap your arms around yourself and just give you some love, you know, and call your name and say, oh, I love you. I love you, Sandy. I love you. You know, Barbara, that's my mom's name. I love you. Whatever your name is, say your name while you're hugging yourself and just say, I love you, you know, after you say your name. And I tell you, that right there works, man. So, you know, until we get back to feeling safe and the other person also feeling safe, that, you know, we can do that, giving hugs and receiving hugs, doing it just to ourselves. So that was that article in the National Awakenings, the February 2022 edition. And I believe you can go online and maybe download that too. It's at N, like in natural, A, Awakenings. So it's naatlanta.com. naatlanta.com is the website, and I believe they have it listed or posted on that website. I did not check before the show. All right, so the next thing, in talking to my brother that I read from the Daily Inspirational Message, Imam William Safir, and we were talking about the heart. And the we got a caller. All right, caller, give us your name and your comments, your contributions, questions, whatever you got for us. 404-295. Okay, well, we're going to keep on moving then. You can come in when you might be on mute. We're going to keep on rolling.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me? This is Nurse Harriet. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. Thanks for calling in, Harriet. Yes, I hear you.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you very much.
I know you wanted to wrap up the discussion on the heart. And I had a little information that I'd like to share.
Thank you.
The sister mentioned about a week ago about her mother having some symptoms, well, having actually had a heart attack, and the fact that she experienced some back pain, which people sometimes typically don't think of a heart attack manifesting itself as back pain. But I like to share some signs and symptoms of heart attack.
That would be excellent. Thank you.
So that we're more familiar with what we need to be looking for. Okay. So typical, I got this from the Mayo Clinic website. You know, I love Mayo Clinic for their research on lots of different things. But they said the typical heart attack symptoms. One is chest discomfort or pain. This discomfort or pain can feel like a tight ache, can feel like pressure, fullness, or squeezing in the chest, lasting more than a few minutes. This discomfort may come and go. The next thing they say is upper body pain. Pain or discomfort may spread beyond your chest to your shoulders, arms, back, neck, teeth, or jaw. You may have upper body pain with no, and you may have upper body pain with no chest discomfort. Okay. Stomach pain. Pain may extend down.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Stomach pain.
Okay.
Pain may extend downward into the abdominal area and feel like
wow.
heartburn. Yeah. People sometimes will take antacids. Sometimes for a few days they feel like they just got heartburn when it's actually the heart itself. Another symptom is shortness of breath. You may pant for breath or try to take deep breaths. This often occurs before you develop chest discomfort, or you may not experience any chest discomfort. Anxiety. You may feel a sense of doom or feeling as if you're having a panic attack for no apparent reason. Lightheadedness. In addition to feeling chest pressure, you may feel dizzy or you may feel like you might pass out. Sweating. You may suddenly break into a cold sweat with clammy skin. Nausea and vomiting. You may feel sick to your stomach or vomit. Heart palpitations. You may feel as if your heart is skipping beats, or you may just be, very aware that your heart is beating. You know, some people describe it as like the heart, they can feel the heart racing. And they say, get help immediately. Heart attack symptoms can vary widely. For instance, you may have only minor chest discomfort, while someone else might have excruciating pain. So one thing applies to everyone, though. If you suspect that you're having a heart attack, call 911 or your local emergency number. If you don't have access to emergency medical services, have someone drive you to the nearest hospital. Drive yourself only as a last resort if there is absolutely no other option. It also goes on to say symptoms may not be dramatic. Movies and TV shows often portray heart attacks as dramatic chest-clutching events. But heart attacks often begin with subtle symptoms, such as discomfort that may not even be described as pain. It can be very tempting to try to downplay your symptoms or brush them off as indigestion or anxiety. But don't tough out a heart attack symptoms for more than 5 minutes. Call 911 or other emergency medical services for help. And it says women may have different symptoms. Women may have all, many, a few, or none of the typical heart attack symptoms. Some type of pain, pressure, or discomfort in the chest is still a common symptom of a heart attack in women. However, many women have heart attack symptoms without chest pain. They may include pain in the neck, back, shoulders, or jaw, shortness of breath, abdominal pain, or heartburn, pain in one or both arms, nausea or vomiting, dizziness or fainting, unusual or unexplained fatigue, possibly for days. It goes on to say additional information for older adults and people with diabetes. There's older adults and people with diabetes may have none or very mild symptoms of a heart attack. So this is never dismiss heart attack symptoms, even if they don't seem serious. Okay.
So I want to ask you a question, being the very veteran nurse that you are. If you have like a very unusual situation to happen in your life, like someone unexpectedly transitions or dies, or you're fired from your job after years of being there with a good stellar record, and you have I guess a reaction would be the best way to say that to the situation at hand, and you feel this pressure in your chest, but it's not long-standing, and it's not that it's been developing over this long period of time, but your body is reacting to this situation that has happened. Should a person still use the same type of medical attention that they would if it had been, developing or progressing over a longer period of time?
I would say absolutely.
Or should the person wait? Say again.
Well, you know, stress can bring on heart attack symptoms. It may be anxiety. You know, the person may start to have some chest discomfort, all the things that they described there, the pain in the neck, the arms, the abdomen. If that could be brought on by stress, absolutely. And a traumatic event such as a death or something like that, people have keeled over. And a lot of times it's because they already had a pre-existing heart disease. And then the added stress of that just, you know, maybe they had a plaque buildup. This article also talks about heart arrhythmias or irregular heart irregular heart rhythms based on fatty plaques that have built up in the artery. So when that happens, the person is slowly going to have problems with the heart after that plaque has been building up for some time. And then a stressful situation that calls on the heart to beat a lot faster through blood vessels that have narrowed because of the plaque buildup can create a heart attack. Absolutely. So a person would want to, you know, go on to the emergency room. And see, what they realize, too, is that people have a lot of times been having little symptoms of that for some time, and denial is one of the things that go along having had a heart attack. Some people have for days, you know, have ignored the symptoms or have had, you know, off and on had problems and then it went away. And then they say, well, I don't think it was my heart, so I'm not going to get anything done. So, but 9 times out of 10, the person that comes to the emergency room with a heart attack, they didn't just get that. They didn't just have that that pain and all that stuff suddenly. Many times it's something that they've had off and on and just not gotten addressed before, you know, before the actual event happens. And then a triggering event certainly can be a stress, you know, a high stress event. There was
was curious about that.
Yeah, there was a guy in the one of the news reporters. Years ago, when I lived in Florida, the Busch Gardens had just opened up with a new roller coaster, and he was a kind of obese news reporter. He wanted to be one of the first ones, as part of his news story, to take a ride on that roller coaster. And so he got on it and rode on it, and before the ride was finished, had a heart attack and died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had, you know, the stress of being, you know, on that roller coaster and having the, you know, that that wild ride, you know, on the roller coaster. But they found that he had heart disease that had developed over many years and plaque buildup in the arteries that had caused his heart to fail when that added stress was placed on it.
Yeah,
so, yeah, the news story was about him that day because he took a ride on that new roller coaster and died.
That's amazing, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Whew. So we have to do work all along to make sure that we don't get fatty buildup in our heart, because our heart is a muscle. you know, it's the most most significant muscle in our bodies. But as a
mm-hmm.
muscle, it does need to be kept in shape, you know, with exercise, with like you said, plant based eating, so that the arteries, the small arteries and veins in the heart become when they become clogged, that's what creates the problem. It's actually the heart itself and the arteries and vein that keep it nourished actually become blocked, and it'll, and a clot will form in there, and that's exactly what causes a heart attack. The heart actually stops from a clot that's caught in one of its vessels. So.
Okay. You know, we're learning a lot, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important that we know, you know. Go ahead.
I've had some information to share about journaling, too, if you don't have another caller.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. You were talking about managing stress earlier and how important it is for us to find ways of managing our stress.
Right.
One of the things that does help, and I have tried this in the past as well, is keeping a journal. You know, we have the old fashioned diaries years ago where we would write down, you know, a lot of stuff to go back and read later and see where we were at a particular time in our lives when we were young. But so they found that people, you know, people have been keeping diaries for, you know, forever. But over the past 30 years, hundreds of studies have uncovered the benefits of putting pen to paper with your deepest thoughts and feelings. And this is another article I researched. According to the research, journaling may help ease our distress when we're struggling. In a 2006 study, nearly 100 young adults were asked to spend 15 minutes journaling or drawing about a stressful event, or writing about their plans for the day twice during the week. The people who journal saw the biggest reduction in symptoms like depression, anxiety, and hostility, particularly if they were very distressed to begin with. This was true even though 80% had seldom journaled about their feelings in the past, and only 61% were comfortable in doing so. And it says that many times we will avoid journaling because it's not pleasant. And the writer says that she sometimes had to force herself to sit down and write. But it turned out to be cathartic. And research suggests that we feel less anxious, sad, or guilty. Well, we may feel that way after we write. But in the long term, she says, we expect to cultivate a greater sense of meaning as well as better health. Various studies have found that people who do a bout of journaling have fewer doctor's visits in the following year and reduced symptoms of chronic diseases like asthma and arthritis. Why journaling works. It says, what's the secret to the humble diary? It turns out journaling works on two different levels, having to do with both our feelings and our thoughts. First is the way of disclosing emotions rather than stuffing them down, which is known to be harmful for our health. So many of us have secret pain or shame that we haven't shared with others, swarming around in our brains in images and emotions. Through writing, our pain gets translated into black and white words that exist outside of ourselves. She says, I'm able to organize thoughts and feelings on paper so that they no longer take up room in my head. And this is Allison Quintrini, an assistant professor at Eckhart College, who has been journaling for years and started a COVID-19 journal, as a matter of fact, in April. She says, if I get them out on the page and clear the mental decks, it sets up the rest of the day to not only be more productive, but to be more relaxed.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. On the thinking level, she says, writing forces us to organize our experiences into a sequence, giving us a chance to examine cause and effect and form a coherent story. Through this process, we can also gain some distance from our experiences and begin to understand them in new ways, stumbling upon insights about ourselves and the world. While trauma can upset our beliefs about how life works, processing trauma through writing seems to give us a sense of control. Journaling is a tool to put our experiences, thoughts, beliefs, and desires into language. And in doing so, it helps us understand and grow and make sense of them. Yes. This was from the book Opening Up by Writing It Down by journaling researcher James Pennebaker.
So well, thanks for sharing that, Harriet.
Okay.
I know what right. I've done too. Go ahead. Were you making a statement?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying was that I've used that just, you know, my first long fast that I had intended to do, I journaled through that just to, you know, record what I was feeling emotionally on a day-to-day basis and what changes my body was exhibiting. And then at some low points in my life, I've chosen to do gratitude journals. And I'll tell you, that is probably the best gift that anyone can give themselves, especially when they're in the midst of some troubling situation. You know, money not flowing, a bad relationship, making a decision on if you want to move and where you're going to move to, just, you know, a lot of different situations like that can really weigh you down. If you just, what I did, I'm not going to say you should, what I did was I started off writing like five things I was grateful for when I woke up in the morning, and then five things at night that happened during the day that I was thankful for. And what happened was that I could sit there for 30 minutes and just write, you know, mm-hmm. because you learn to be more appreciative of wow. the gifts that we have from the Creator, you know, like the blood that's circulating in your body and how mm-hmm. your heart knows to beat, you know, so many times, and how you're able to move your limbs when you wake up, or you can see, even if you need glasses, you know, you can see, you can feel, you can smell. And all of those, when you start doing that you arrive to your, you arrive to your destination safely. You know, that you were able to walk in the rain and get wet, or, you know, and so we get to look at life. I got to look at life from a whole different perspective when I did it like that, to do the gratitude journal. And I still have them. I got a bunch of them just, you know, everywhere. And it helped me to appreciate my life a lot more and not focus on what I had chosen to identify as a challenge, you know?
Right. The other thing, too, that I have done in the past is keep a medical information journal, because, you know, I'm always very cognizant about getting with my doctors and getting my questions answered. And many times if you have a logged information that shows them, like, what other doctor you have seen, what the results of that test was, when you had that, you know, when you had that test, or when you started a new medication, write that down and carry that journal with you, you know, when you go to see your various health providers. They have a lot more respect for you based on the fact that they see that you're keeping informed about what's going on with yourself. And when they, you know,
right.
they're more likely to sit down and talk with you when you can say, well, hey, back on, you know, February 3rd, I started this medication, and then I saw these side effects that it created. You know, if they see that you're keeping up with it, they're more likely to address your issues with more seriousness, I have found. So I try to keep all of my medical records in a binder and keep notes, you know. I put tabs on them, as a matter of fact, to say what day I had lab work, what day that, you know, that I visit this doctor or that doctor, and keep up with all that stuff.
That's really good.
Do it, and then when I go in, I just take my binder. If they don't have copies of, you know, a previous test that I have, I can say, well, hey, here's a copy of that, you know, so we don't have to repeat any test. That they can know exactly what I've had, and, you know, and I ask them too if they'll give me a copy of any test that they perform while I'm there, so that I can, you know, inform the other doctors that I see.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
That does get you a lot more respect, I think, you know, from your medical professionals if they see that you're very informed about what's going on with yourself.
And it's a good way to keep up with what's happening in your body, you know?
Right. It is.
Yeah. Because I know that, it's been years, too, you know, that certain prescribe you a pill, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, you go in, you know, like once a year, right, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they take your blood pressure and they're like, oh, you got high blood pressure. We're going to write you a prescription. No, you not. No.
Well,
look,
right.
I'm going to start walking, you know, drinking more water and being less stressful, listening to some music, all the stuff that I read about in that magazine article, you know, I said, and then I'll come back, you know, and then what I'm going to do in the meantime is I'm going to keep a record of my blood pressure every day. And when I get back, then, you know, we can discuss what needs to be done. If I can tell you I've taken it in the morning, the afternoon, at night, and I put on there what I've eaten, if it's up, or, you know, if I'm stressing but it doesn't really show, I'm going to say, you know, like this is going on in my family and stuff. And I've been doing that. And it's not so much about the medical professional, you know, having this respect or whatever, but I have it for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're doing good with keeping up, and you feel more informed. At least I did,
Right. But, I mean, it causes them, too, to realize that they need to deal with you on an intelligent level. as opposed to just, you know, grabbing a pill and, you know, running in and out of the room real quick when they see people are not well informed about that.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, medical professionals are not going to care any more about our health than we do. Let's just be frank. Because we've seen so many people, even during this pandemic, you know, we continue to see people dying. We continue to see people who are getting sick. And the hospitals have just been inundated, you know, for months with all of these folks. And so I think a lot of the people now who are dying from it, you know, the hospital staff was like, you know, you ain't been vaccinated, you ain't been wearing no mask, and now you're going to show up here and expect us to save your life when you ain't been trying to save your life, you know. So,
yeah, but, you know, we've been conditioned to we've been conditioned to run to the doctor like that, though. You know, you take care of me. That's how the system was set up, was for us to depend on the system versus helping people to learn ways to take care of themselves. And so, you know, and by the way, you guys, Hillside International Truth Center is having an online free of charge health and wellness panel this Friday night. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Nurse Harriet, the person that's on the line with me tonight, will be one of the presenters at the Sankofa Community Health and Wellness Panel. Looking back to regain our health and wellness is the theme of the program. And we have some really interesting and incredibly talented and knowledgeable experts that will be presenting on Friday night, starts at 7. We expect for it to run for 2 hours. Now, the link, however, you're going to have to go on the website, which is hillsideinternational.org, O-R-G, or on Facebook under Hillside International Truth Center. So either one of those two ways, you can get the link. And, again, it's free of charge. So if you could just go on and click the link at the time at 7 o'clock on Friday night, you'll be able to hear a full slate of presenters and have some African drumming and be well educated and given a good overview of some various topics around health and wellness. And I will be your moderator for the evening. So I'm excited to be a part of this and to continue to bring to the community. So that's Friday night. And if you're in the Atlanta area, on Saturday we're having a community festival and ancestral fire burning, some presentations by various members of the community with a mini fashion show. We're going to do yoga. We're going to have storytelling and some more drumming. And it's going to be a great, great week to celebrate and to close out this Black History Month, which we are celebrating it as Sankofa Transformation. Thank you, Harriet, for saying that, because I almost forgot to mention that to the audience.
Oh, it's going to be a great occasion. Really looking forward to it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I just received a text message, and last year we had Lloyd Strayhorn. He's a numerologist that was on the show with us. And so I want to read this text to you right quick, and then, Harriet, we can come back to you, but I just wanted to read this. It says the numerology behind 2-22-22. This Tuesday is the once-in-a-lifetime date of 2-22-2022. Thanks to the date's repeating numbers, it's considered an angel number in numerology, or a number bearing a particular energy or universal message. In this case, the meaning of the date 2-22-2022 is about connections and coming together, not just in one-on-one pairs, but among large groups and communities as well. Lloyd Strayhorn has written numerous books, news magazines, columns, and articles on events of the time. He brings to the radio listener and TV viewer insight and an informative approach to his very unique world. He's been on Oprah, Geraldo, Regis, Philburn, and Kathy Lee, Montel Williams, Tony Brown Journal, and others. So you can go to his website, which is www.lloyd-strayhorn.com, if you're interested in any more on the power behind this number. And that's what I was talking about earlier. And there was one other little segment I wanted to mention. We're down about, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. So this, I'm going to make it real quick. This Aquarian Gateway, it began on 2-2-2022, and it culminates today with the 2-22-2022. So we got that six combination of the twos. And so the on the 1st February, 2-1, going into the 2-2, was the new moon and the lunar new year of the tiger, which stood for, the tiger stood for rebirth. And then we have the master number, the 22, which is today, and that means power on all planes, the ability to change course of history, and that it serves to as the open door for us to be able to create a change in a much more effective manner. And so the 2-22-2022 prepares the masses at a cellular level for elevation, for life transforming changes. So all so we invoke the ancestors and all of humanity in this unity of cooperative consciousness and oneness, because this is the possibility and the realization shift in what happens in our world. And within, can you just imagine that? All these things that we're talking about. And then there's one other point. I'm telling you, this has been, this show, and Harriet, I thank you, Nurse Harriet, I thank you so much for including the information that you did, because it's very relevant right now in with the activities and the openings, the portals that are existing for us. And there are a lot of individuals that are choosing not to stay around. You know, they're like, man, I can't do it with no more with you guys, so I'm going to check on out. And it's important that we understand that this energy that we have currently at our disposal, which started on 2-1 and 2-2 of 2022, is only intensifying, and like I said, it's opening the doors. But there's one last point. There's one last point. I was hoping for my brother to be on with us tonight so that he could give us a little bit more information. And for those of you that are of the Muslim faith, I respect and honor you. As-salamu alaykum. I wanted to just share with you a conversation I had with him the first of the month, and then I confirmed with him tonight because I wanted to make sure that the words that I used were correct. And when I was telling him the direction of the show for this year and each month talking about a different body system and how it operates in those areas that it acts in real time, and we were talking about heart for February, and I was telling him about, you know, the different speakers that were lined up at the time. And he said to me, well, you know, I get it because the Quran was revealed upon the heart of the prophet. He said, it doesn't say the mind. It doesn't say, you know, that it was the brain or anything like that. The Quran was revealed up on the heart of the prophet. So that lets us know just how powerful that body organ is, and that it has been recognized and honored as such from days gone by. So I wanted to bring that to your attention and just give you something else to consider thinking about the heart and the magical job that it plays in our lives. And I still go back to Queen Mai'ada, you know, with her opening up this month, talking about the brain is where our thoughts originate, and it makes sense to me. You know, it's like I'm always wanting to learn something new because, like I was telling you guys last week, a lot of the things that I've been taught, I'm questioning because it didn't make sense, you know, and I'm like, nah, you know, like the boogeyman, and why does the boogeyman, why is he always there and only come out in the dark and can't nobody see him, you know, and stuff like that. So I know, I'm just.
Yeah. Well,
so anybody else have a comment or a question or a statement? We got just a couple of minutes left in the show. If not, Nurse Harriet can, if you have additional information, can go ahead and share that with us at this point in time. But I appreciate you so much, man. This has really been an awesome, awesome show.
I've enjoyed it as well. I just have a couple of notes from the journaling, how we can journal in many different ways. It talks about expressive writing. To do this, you write continuously for 20 minutes about your deepest thoughts and emotions around an issue in your life. You can explore how it has affected you, how it relates to your childhood or to your parents, your relationship or your career. Expressive writing is traditionally done 4 days in a row, but there isn't anything magical about this formula. Studies suggest you can journal a few days in a row, a couple of times a week, or just once a week. Or you can write 10, 15, or 20 minutes, and you can keep journaling about the same topic or switch to different ones each time. For example, the Pandemic Project offers several prompts to inspire writing. They said you can write a basic entry about your general thoughts and feelings about COVID-19 or dig into more specific topics like your social life, how your social life has, the social world has changed, how that makes you feel, and how you're handling it. Your work or money, how do you feel about your financial situation? And how has your job changed? Or uncertainty, where is your anxiety and sense of uncertainty coming from? And how can you cope with that? Many people often started writing during COVID-19 and then began writing about other topics that are bothering them more than they thought, according to the Pandemic Project website, which was created by this guy, Panabaker, and his research team. He says, this is what expressive writing is good for. Use it to try to understand those problems that are getting under your skin. So certainly this is a time, you know, during the pandemic when we might want to start journaling just to, you know, like as I said, just to write down, you know, how we're feeling, how all of this has affected our social lives, how we're ideas that we can come up with to cope with these changes. Because it just, you know, it doesn't seem like this thing is going to be off our back for some time now. So, it's important to manage the stress and anxiety created by it. And so journaling is one way we can do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, you know, I'm going to be a little more lenient with this statement. Because I really do feel it's 100%, but maybe it's not. So I believe there are quite a few people that are impacted highly, yet not honoring what they're feeling in regards to the pandemic. And the shut-in, and I just think it's taken a toll, you know. And so those signs, Nurse Harriet, that you were giving us about, you know, heart health and things like that, that stuff is real. And you see more people having issues but they don't want to talk about it. You'll see them, you know, maybe squinch up their eyes a little bit and hold their chest and things like that, or they can't catch their breath. You know, they're overweight because, you know, that's just one of those byproducts from, you know, being locked in and you're bored, and so you just eat and eat and eat and eat, you know. So, yes, I thank you very much for sharing that tool of journaling and then the additional warning signs or things to look out for in your body, because we all need it. It may not be for you. It may be for a neighbor. It may be for your brother or your sister. It may be for your significant other. It could be for anybody that you're in the company of. And so let's learn as much as we can to help each other out. Again, this is a community, unity in community effort, that we're learning all of this to be able to help one another and to help ourselves in this process of reversing the miseducation that we've received. The healing is not going to be in the pill. We already know that. You know, we talk about that quite a bit on this show, and the healing comes on the outside of that, or in addition to that, or however you want to word that. But your salvation and your release from the illness or the disease is not going to come from something that's created in a laboratory. The Creator made sure that we had everything that we needed at the time that He put the human being together. He or she.
Amen.
He, she, Mother, Father, God. Yes. All
Amen.
Right. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nurse
love
Harry.
You, love you.
Yeah, I love you too. I can't wait to hear
And I'll be happy.
I can't wait to hear you on Friday night, see what you got to say.
Oh, I'm gonna try to keep it in the time limit. That's gonna be my only time.
Oh, that's right. We got time limits for Friday night, you guys. So we've got I believe 10. No,
no,
we got
seven.
More speakers than that.
Seven
so
minutes.
Come out. Yeah, no. I was talking about how many speakers total. But each person has a time limit. It's 7 minutes tops. And but they've got to deliver a complete message for you within that time frame. So, again, that's at hillsideinternational.org, or you can go on Facebook. And it may be on Instagram, too. I'm not sure. But you can go on Facebook under Hillside International Truth Center. And you can go to my page as well and just get that information and click on that link at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. That is our notice that we are out of time. I thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for listening, and thank you for participating. And thank you for being with us in this journey to get to unity in community. So remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Next month, in the month of March, we're going to talk about the nervous system, and you're really going to want to stay tuned for each one of those sessions, because we're, like we did this month, we're building and sharing information in a number of different topics. So thank you all. I love you, love you, love you. And if you tune in on Friday, you'll be blessed with some additional information. And otherwise, we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.